trust you have left your preconceived notions, prejudices, and disbelief when you set foot on this, the most controversial planet in the solar system? Good, because now you will have to be receptive to new concepts, alternate takes on history, and even have your perception of reality challenged at its very core. But don't be afraid. Think of it as an opportunity to free your mind from the communal thought that has influenced you ever since before you were aware of what was going on in the world. Today's date is March 15th, 2014, and here are some of the things you might have missed. News taken from the back pages and underneath the shadows of the headlines, hidden in plain sight since your last visit to Earth. A message from the dawn of time. Sounds like the beginning of a science fiction novel or the plot from a sci-fi movie. But real-life astronomers are using this phrase to describe their latest findings that could change the face of physics and give scientists their first glimpse of how the universe was born. What they believe to have found are what they call primordial gravitational waves, an echo from the Big Bang in which the universe came into existence 14 billion years ago. Gravitational waves, the last untested prediction of Albert Einstein's general theory of relativity, are minuscule ripples in the fabric of the universe that carry energy across space, rather like the waves that travel across an ocean. According to theory, the primordial gravitational waves will tell us about the first moment of the universe's history, when it expanded at an incredibly fast rate, known as inflation. This theory is used to explain why the universe is uniform from place to place. Discovery of these primordial waves could confirm the inflation theory and almost certainly lead to a Nobel Prize for the team from the Harvard-Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics. An official announcement on their findings is expected this Monday. And while we are looking up, a new technique could help scientists discover life on planets in other solar systems. Heavy atmospheres like Earth's keep water from drifting off planet and into space, so astronomers like to look for them when searching for potentially habitable planets beyond our solar system. Now, researchers have found a new method for detecting heavy atmospheres around terrestrial planets that could host not just water, but life. The technique depends on the detection of dimers, or molecules that have coupled together in an exoplanet's atmosphere. In chemistry, a dimer is a general term that refers to any compound assembled from two identical smaller units. What the researchers will be looking for is the presence of oxygen dimers, which would indicate an atmosphere that has enough pressure to keep water from streaming out into space. It turns out the only way scientists know how to make an oxygenated atmosphere is with oxygen-producing photosynthetic life. In other words, if astronomers ever observe a planet with a strong oxygen dimer signal, it will likely serve as compelling evidence that that planet is home to alien life. Now that they know what to look for, all they need is the right telescope. For that, they will have to wait a few years until the launch of the James Webb Space Telescope, NASA's more powerful replacement for the Hubble, set to lift off in 2018. We'll have more news later, but next, we welcome to the program Harmon Taylor, activist, author, researcher, and expert on historical events like the Oklahoma City bombing. We will delve into many different issues that you may have heard on the news, but probably not have gotten the whole story. Get ready to shine the light of truth once again with Dr. Drake, Dr. Truth, Harmon Tyler, and you. This week on Earth.
The opinions provided by the hosts and guests on the radio show Earth do not express or imply the views of this station's management or that of the ownership of this station. In fact, it's just two guys lost in space.
Danger, Will Robinson, danger!
We want your soul.
I've got to start talking louder than ever. The rapid speed of, if you like, globalization. The world government, world army, world central bank, world currency, world microchip population.
Don't be afraid.
No, be afraid. Be very afraid.
The important thing is to know where they want to take us.
They have to destroy the dollar, destroy the pound, destroy the old order, while they've been building the new world order, this technological enslavement system.
The FBI is taking on a $1 billion project to gather fingerprints, palm patterns, even digital pictures of faces. Eventually, it could expand to include iris patterns, face shape patterns, scars, even information about how you walk and talk. It's called biometrics.
We want your soul.
Wow, the theme song really says it all. Let's rock, Doc. Greetings and welcome to the most controversial planet in this solar system. This is the radio show called Earth. I'm Dr. Drake, your Capitano on the third rock from the sun's radio airwaves. And across from me is the elite's most wanted, because he is the shock jock who knows more about them than Dr. Spock. He is my kin, my friend, my light-skinned twin. He is Dr. Truth. Can you handle Dr. Truth?
You can't handle the truth.
I don't think so.
Time to howl at the wolves. It's Saturday night, the 15th of March, 2014, or 2014, as they say at the Bilderberg Group.
As you like it. Now, this is going to be, take your gloves off. This is going to be a good hard punch show tonight. Because, again, we pick on the left and the right. And I tell you, it's not going to be good tonight. It's not going to be good tonight at all. Because we think the donkey and the elephant, they both smell. Dr. Truth, we have another awesome lineup tonight. Break him down.
That's what we try. That's our goal here on this show. Very quickly, before we bring our guest on, I want to say a big hello to all of our listeners on our new affiliate.
In the big O.
Newest affiliate to the Earth Radio Network in Orlando, Florida, 810 AM WRSO. Everyone listening in Orlando, welcome to the program, and you'll get acquainted with us as you listen.
Yeah, tell a friend, tell an enemy about this show, because you might need them in the end.
Our guest tonight is Mr. Harmon Taylor. Let me say something very quickly. Going over his bona fides, I was absolutely mesmerized, because I thought, okay, we've got someone who's a lawyer. He knows a lot of legal things, but the thing is, he's got a degree. He's got degrees in physics, electrical engineering, and law. He's all over the place. Incredible guest, Harmon Taylor. Welcome to Earth.
Great, thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Well, before you get started, I want to say I have a degree from Sandalwood High School. I just want to let Chad know I'm kind of qualified to be here. I'm just kidding. We're going to have an awesome show. Chad told me a lot about you. And the first thing before we get started, man, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Fourth year Texan, fourth generation Texan. Great granddad moved in from Tennessee and started farming in North Texas. Born in Dallas, grew up in Austin. The son of two faculty members, moved closer as I was in college. I was in Sherman, which is about an hour north of Dallas, and parents moved back to Dallas, well, I guess about my sophomore year. Finished undergraduate, went to law school, and in between these events, there were some acts of divine intervention that motivated me to focus on the tax system. And so as all of that developed, the career path focused on commercial litigation, in particular tax litigation. And as a result of that background and considerable divine intervention, my paradigm, the paradigm on which we've all been raised, got upended several times, gradually. It was in manageable pieces. But as I continued to pursue that which seemed right to me, the results weren't coming out of the judicial system as predicted. And we got to one case in particular, which I referred to as the Terre Haute litigation, where the survivors of the Murrah Building bombing were intending to preserve evidence. And through that case, we got a major paradigm shift, which did drastically then change my career and my focus. And that was in May and June of 2001. So from that point to this, I've had an even more fundamental area to teach to those who are interested in trying to find remedy in this current system.
Harmon, very quickly, in studio with us is one of our contributors, the Amendment Avenger. He's former military, currently recently retired from the Navy.
So tonight's going to be
our Navy.
Yes, yes. So you'll hear Amendment Avenger pop in every once in a while. Go ahead and say hello.
Hey, greetings. It's good to have you with us. Thanks for coming.
Tonight's going to be a very, very, very interesting show, and I want to tell everybody, really, I love to say this, get a pen out, because you're going to hear a lot of things. We don't want you to believe none of it. We want you to get a pen out and check it out for yourself, because it's going to shake some things inside of you. I want you to say, I don't believe that, but give me a chance to say, just check it out. That's all I want you to do, because it's going to shock you out. And let's start my question tonight. Have you guys ever noticed the Federal Reserve, the new dollars that just came out from the Federal Reserve, the new funny money that just came out? If you
the $100 bill?
Well, let's say from the $1 bill to the $50 bill. Just, when you get a chance, Google, check it out yourself. The $1 bill is the same color as the Monopoly $1 bill, white. The $5 bill is the same color as the Monopoly $5 bill, pink. The $10 bill is the same color as the Monopoly $10 bill, yellow. The $20 bill is the same color as the Monopoly $20 bill, green. The $50 is the same color as the Monopoly $50 blue. You think they're laughing at us right about now with this funny money that both of them are funny money? You know, why is it funny money or fake money anyway? Let me see if you what's going on in you guys' head about this Federal Reserve money.
That's deep.
Harmon, we can get into the Federal Reserve, but you do call it funny money. Do you think that they are possibly making fun of us by making the new money look like Monopoly money?
Absolutely. To them, it is a game. Wow. They're motivated by a sense of godliness. They want us to worship them in that manner. And so, yeah, I expect that's exactly what's in their mind. Let's make a game of this. Let's laugh at these people. And as they continue to use stuff they know better than to use, let's just shove it in their face. That's interesting, the color scheme.
Well,
that's very interesting.
And I want to tell everybody, because I don't want them to believe me. I'm going to give them my email address, because I know a lot of people saying that's crazy. I want to check it out. My email address, you can go to earthradionetwork.com and send Dr. Drake saying, I want to see it, and I'll send your response back so you can check out this funny money. I mean, it's side by side on top of each other, so the money is the same color, and they are literally laughing when they're doing stuff like this. Of course, we know it, there's really no value to it but of trade and slave money, but that's the only value to it.
There is, if I can interject on this, the value it has really isn't in the economic terms.
Okay.
The value that the funny money has to those people is the choice of law that goes with it. If we had an honest system of weights and measures, the way it's designed in a particular document, then what would circulate would be gold and silver coin.
Right.
With gold and silver coin goes a particular choice of law, which we would refer to generally as the common law, mm-hmm. or the law of the land. to upset that, they have to have a different place. This gets kind of abstract, but they have to create a different place, and they've done that. And in that separate place, they run the funny money. The choice of law is what goes with the money, and it's just not where most people think when they think about money.
Harmon, very quickly, since we started this show, we've been saying they. We're talking about the globalist, i.e. the New World Order. This is who we're talking about, right?
Yes, and when we get to the money in particular, the label I put on them, I used to call them the internationalists or the international banking cartel.
Right.
I'm now a little bit more specific in calling them the Western European banking cartel, the Chinese and the Russians, as the leaders of a different banking system, are also international and are also banking. So the people that are vexatious to us are the ones I refer to as the Western European banking cartel. And they are the ones that are intending to be dominant in the world. And it's by this mechanism, the choice of law that goes with their funny money, that is now what's not being bought internationally. And so they're in trouble, and we get things like the Ukraine and such as that. Mm-hmm.
So does that explain why Mitt Romney attacked China for being a currency manipulator when the Federal Reserve is on record being the biggest manipulator of currency of all time?
Perhaps. The concept there may just be do what you do and charge the other guy with doing it so that it makes it look like the other person's doing it, not us. Of course, it's the ancient technique. But, yeah, if he's going after China, then he's a little short-sighted in his perspective on it.
Well, I think he was doing his job and keeping the distraction going that somehow China owns the majority of our debt, which is a total fallacy when the Federal Reserve owns the majority of our debt. Harmon, there's so much to get into with you, and the big tease is your research, your understanding that this country, unfortunately, is not operating under a constitution, but if you'll allow us to creep towards that.
Sure. Let's go at whatever rate is comfortable.
Well, we heard in the primer segment with our producer, the Sentinel, the primer segment, he mentioned the Oklahoma City bombing. I mean, this is, and you even mentioned this is how you got your legs into everything in a lot of ways. When did you get into Oklahoma City? Was this after 1995 at some point in time? Because you know Holland Van den Nieuwenhoff, one of our great guests on this show, and you know about
his
research.
Yes, Holland and I met not too long after I started doing the litigation stuff with the survivors. My first participation in that case was on the direct appeal in the Tenth Circuit. There was the trial in Denver, and of course the conviction. And then the appeal, the direct appeal. So that was my very first participation. It was an amicus brief. Amicus briefs really aren't that common at the appellate level. They're much more common in the Supreme Court. It turns out to have been about half a dozen of us. I hadn't met any of the others, and in some sense still haven't in person. There were several people who contributed along the lines toward which I also contributed, and that is, don't we have a major subject matter jurisdiction problem trying that particular case outside the state of Oklahoma? And so with that fundamental concept, which basically asserts Article 3, Section 2, Article 4, Section 2, and the Sixth Amendment. So the very first participation was on the direct appeal. And then, of course, after that, there was nothing changed on appeal. And there's the Supreme Court decision to leave things as they were. And then we rock along and end up with the execution date.
Wow.
And it was toward that time period. It was about January. Yeah, it would have had to have been because we just had a new president elected. And it was a few weeks after all of that occurred, as the starting time to communicate with the new administration.
Well, tell us about this letter to the president regarding Timothy McVeigh's execution.
The objective there was basically to recognize that if we were going to do anything in the judicial process, there was going to have to be some kind of recognition of that by the executive. So the letter was very plain. It set forth just about every detail that was going to be asserted legally, so that there'd be absolutely no surprise to anybody about anything, about what was in mind on this end. And of course, the activity then in Washington was in a study mode, of course, until this event that was recognized by Attorney General Ashcroft at the time. And on a Thursday of that week in May, he made the announcement of granting a 30-day administrative stay for the finding of some 3,000 pages of documents that they were pretty sure had not been turned over to defense counsel before. So that was Thursday night, 6-something Eastern time, when that announcement first broke in the news. And it was that very next day, that morning, that the what I call the Terre Haute litigation was actually filed and served there in Terre Haute, Indiana. We're in Terre Haute, Indiana, because that's where the death chamber is in the federal system. So that's where McVeigh was being housed, and his custodian is the custodian of that federal facility there in Indiana. So the suit was technically against the custodian to say, don't throw the switch. So that's why we're in Terre Haute, Indiana. And there's just some lead time in there. Just you don't go into a suit like that in a case like that without giving a lot of notice. And so the defense counsel knew that we had this going on, and the White House knew that this was what was going on, and that was the right way to handle it. So no surprises. And that's fundamentally the reason, and the reason for the letter and the content of it.
Amendment Avenger, before the show, you brought up something about Oklahoma City and our beloved Attorney General.
Oh, yes. I was reading some of the stuff you wrote about the ANFO, or the ANFO, what's known as the ammonium nitrate fuel oil explosive. And I saw a 2009 report that came out that said that when they raided Terry Nichols's compound and found some of the ammonium nitrate fuel oil, that on the containers had Mr. Holder's fingerprints, and that came out. And I wanted to see what you knew about that.
You got to be kidding me.
No, that's on the record.
Eric Holder
had fingerprints on the evidence there. See, it's of no surprise. It's really difficult in a case like this, and I'm sure Holland's been through all kinds of details. The new audience with the new affiliate may have some catching up to do, and it may be better for Holland to fill in some of those details. But when you have a case that is this blatantly a setup, there's no real surprise about that sort of thing coming out. This is new information to me. I had not heard that before, but it just comes as no surprise.
The Attorney General.
Well, he is that now. He was kind of a fix-it man before then.
Well, that's why if you are sold out to him, they give you a higher position.
That's something like that.
Yeah, we can use you, buddy. Come on.
Right, I understand his first job as the Assistant Attorney General was the cover-up and whitewashing of the whole Waco incident.
There we go. And that's not the only one. I hope we haven't forgotten Fast and Furious. That's a little later, but
it's so many of them.
He seems to be in several of these things.
It's so many of them, we get numb to it.
Absolutely.
Or just to the point that the human system can't handle it without a physical reaction of getting sick. There seem to be some other things regarding this, and Holland would be the one to talk to about the Murrah Building matter itself. But yeah, there's just several things like this, and to be part of that group, this is the kind of professional activity they're looking for.
Right. Were you aware that his autopsy still says that the he was active duty Army when he
active
died?
Active duty Army. It was printed that way earlier. They've never changed it. And so we've got some questions about that. Yeah, I don't want to. The factual side of this, the people who produced that movie would probably be the best ones to talk with about. On McVeigh in particular, there's still a doubt, and I'm one of the leaders in this that are vocal about it, on the perspective that he probably really was not executed. It would surprise me not at all to hear that he's drinking mint juleps on the Riviera somewhere. There are just too many questions about that whole execution scene. And again, back to the whole setup, you can't get people to be the fall guy in the next mission if you really kill the guy who did it this time. So there's just a doubt in many people's minds as to whether he was ever really executed.
Well, I do remember the letter, his last words, the letter that he had, or the statement that was released before he was supposedly executed, always had a funny ring to it. Always had a funny ring to it. Everyone who was on hold, we'll open up the phone lines after we come back from this first commercial break. So if you want to join the conversation tonight, it's toll free 1-855-711-8255. Harmon, so you got your feet wet big time with this Terre Haute litigation about Oklahoma City, but everything really ramps up with when we get into the income tax and then this whole constitutional, or do we have a constitution or not? With the income tax, would you like to start there? And like I said, we'll creep our way into the Constitution.
We can. There's not a lot to do on the beginning part about income tax.
A lot of people are sitting here not understanding that the income tax, a personal federal income tax, is far different than what they might expect.
Well, it is very different. We have to read with very semantic specific ears, and read with very semantic specific eyes, and hear with very semantic specific ears to hear the truth in the marketing, and they just don't tell the whole story. The fundamental concept that's 100% true about income tax is that when they say it's voluntary, that's actually 100% correct.
100% correct. Income tax. Folks, this is not a dry subject, believe me. If you're saying, well, income tax, you know, April's coming up. Well, April is coming up, and we're going to discuss more on the other side of what your personal federal income tax, what it's really all about. Where do those dollars really go to? We're speaking with Harmon Taylor tonight, legalreality@earthlink.net. Harmon, correct me on the other side if I'm wrong, legalreality@earthlink.net. Check that out. Contributor, the Amendment of Injury, is in studio with us for the Good Dr. Drake on Truth. This is Earth.
Psychic medium will amaze you.
My dad passed away 3 years ago in September.
So it's funny how sometimes they never know what they're going to talk about. Did you ever have to have a car crushed? Does that make sense?
That was his job. He would crush the cars.
Say what now?
He would crush cars.
So Matt, he really crushed cars for a living?
Yes, sir.
If you have ever wanted to communicate with a loved one who has passed on, call on North Florida's best medium, Chuck Bergman.
Did he leave behind a sister?
It's his older sister that pretty much raised him like his son.
Sure, that would work. Okay, because he visits with her a lot. I don't know if she's aware of that or not. And now we got to give a quick message to Mom. Who's got the February birthday?
My mom.
Okay, that's a happy birthday to her. Also, a happy Valentine's Day coming up. He still loves her. Boy, he was like circling February over and over.
Book your private reading by visiting ChuckBergman.com. or call 904-291-1196.
Hello, this is Ty Bollinger, author of the best-selling book, Cancer, Step Outside the Box. I want you to know some very important information. In 1985, President Ronald Reagan requested that Carnivora be sent directly to the White House at a time when only the president could obtain this world-class healer. Now, 27 years later, Carnivora capsules are used around the world to keep people healthy. Now you can protect yourself and your loved ones in this age of superbugs with 17 naturally occurring compounds that instinctively respond to abnormal cells only without harming a single normal cell. If you want to stay healthy, now's your chance to literally wake up your critical immune cells to attack harmful invaders that don't belong in your body. Call 1-866-VENUS-FLY or order from carnivora.com. That's carnivora.com. That's 1-866-836-8735, 1-866-VENUS-FLY, or visit carnivora.com. Protect your immune system. It's the only one you've got.
My name's Michaela. When I got back from Iraq, I became pregnant and ended up homeless. Counselors helped us apply for VA supportive housing.
VA offers programs to help eligible veterans stay healthy, find a job, and secure or maintain safe, stable housing.
My life works now. I got help from VA, and now I'm on a mission to share these resources.
If you or a veteran you know is homeless or at immediate risk of becoming homeless, call 877-424-3838.
For a little rock.
Now you can share the topics that drive the discussions of your favorite talk shows with TalkStream Live's topic-driven talk radio.
We gotta talk. Let's take a drive.
List and promote real-time talk radio topics or post the topics that you want to hear. Hot topics are tweeted and retweeted and include simple click-to-listen audio links. The future of talk radio is topic-driven talk radio.
That's what I call a real drive.
Available now at TalkStreamLive.com.
The truth. Now, back to Earth, the most controversial planet in the solar system.
Harmon Taylor is our guest tonight. Harmon, very quickly, did I get that correct? Is it legalreality@earthlink.net?
Yes, that's exactly right. It may be worth mentioning an underscore in between the legal and the reality. But yes, that's excellent email address to use.
I love how you have Earth in the middle of that. I see that you're wide awake.
Earthlink?
Yeah.
But Earth, yeah, they've been instrumental to my email communications since, I guess, 2000, maybe a little before.
Yeah. They copied our show.
Stop it, Harmon. You did that because you know the name of the show is Earth, and you've always wanted to be on this show.
That's it. It's been my life dream to be interviewed on y'all's show. How did you know?
Look, Ma, I'm on the big boy show now. We're going coast to coast, baby.
That's it.
Harmon, when we left off, by the way, Don, if you're hearing me, we have an interesting beep in studio. I don't know how I can get rid of that. But Harmon, put it this way, a number of years ago, there's a great man who passed away by the name of Aaron Russo. And he was a big Hollywood producer. And when he was basically, let's see here, he was approached by Michael Rockefeller and told about this whole globalist agenda. You know, he was basically asked to join the good old boys club of the Western bankers, as you would say, Western European bankers. Instead, he decided to use his money, to his power, his fame, whatever, as a Hollywood producer, to make the film, the documentary, Freedom to Fascism. And that's what really woke me up, introduced me to the whole income tax and the Federal Reserve. What was the instrument that introduced you to what the federal income tax and the Federal Reserve actually is and is not?
Kind of an interesting history there, and if this goes on too long, just put the button in and say, okay, get to the bottom line. My life started, of course, I mentioned farming. I learned to shoot from about age seven or eight, very early in life. I learned to shoot straight. There's a lot of responsibility that goes with that. And so leadership for me and responsibility, personal responsibility, started very early in life. And because I knew what ballistics were about, even basically, when we get later on in life and we hear about these people talking about the Kennedy assassination, even before teenage years, one tilts the head to the side and say, bullets don't do that. There's no way the Warren Commission can be anything except whitewash, and we're talking preteen here. Not a lot of exposure to it, but as one gets into high school and the issue comes up a little bit more, especially in the area of physics, the head tilts to the side. You know how the dogs do? They get this quizzical look, and they roll their head to the side. Well, we have that look, and we say, bullets don't do that. So from early on in life, my point is, I've known that the message coming out of Washington hasn't been the straight word. I've been suspicious about a lot of things from way too early in life because I know what bullets do and what they don't do. So that's a general premise. When I get into high school and I'm working in I'm in Austin, Texas. That's where the legislature is in Texas. And I'm working on the Senate side as an assistant sergeant at arms. That's a fancy name for a page. There, one particular senator's office has had me regularly in there helping do some things, find information, who's doing what in the community to recognize them. And so I'm in there, and they enjoy my work in that. And there's a letter that comes into the office one day, and they're kicking it around. And the letter's addressed to the state senator's office, and what are they talking about? The federal income tax system. So that's kind of odd. And because the staff kind of kicking around pretty good, overhearing the conversation, not really participating in it, but overhearing it. And I went home that day. I'm 17 years old. And I go home from work that day, that summer, a special session, with this question in mind. And it comes straight from this letter. If the income tax system is voluntary, why do people lose their homes and go to jail for not volunteering? And now it's an extremely probative question. And, of course, at age 17, one is typically impressionable. It's just too logical to ignore. And so from age 17, the question is planted in the mind. It's one of the acts of divine intervention. And so here I am, about age 7, maybe age 8, somewhere in there very early in life, knowing full good and well I would be a lawyer. Who knows why anyone knows at that age what they're going to do, but I did. And so now about 10 years later, age 17, I'm now being directed to focus on tax. So that's where I got started. And the quest, literally, the quest was 15 years, okay, college, law school, a few years of practice. And it would be 15 years later that by a whole mess of divine intervention matters, I end up in Denver, and I meet a man there who'd been studying into income tax for 20 years, pretty much with a high school education. He was a bomber pilot, tail end of Second World War, for the Marines. That's for the other guest there. He's a Marine bomber. Mm-hmm. So, of course, he flew with all the Navy pilots and into Korea as a bomber pilot. And from that, ended up in the Denver area and studied, because this thing hadn't made any sense to him either. So by all of these things that are not coincidence, because there is no such thing as coincidence, I meet this man, and he covers with me in about 15 minutes all of law school and all of my practice to date on a particular topic. And from that conversation, because he knows what the answers are and I'm giving him the answers without a whole lot of hesitation, he's impressed with what he's hearing. I'm impressed with what I'm hearing. And for the rest of the time I'm in Denver, I'm studying massively into the details of the income tax system. And that was 1993. So that's pretty much the introduction to the tax side of things. And I knew from that point what the mechanism was. And it's not anything that we can really get into in detail, but I can confirm absolutely that the marketing on income tax is correct. It is voluntary. So the answer to the question, if the income tax system is voluntary, why do people lose their homes and go to jail for not volunteering? The answer is very simple. They don't realize yet how or where it is that they volunteered. Down this path, if we've got a minute, let's distinguish the Al Capone system from the current system.
It's deep.
And the distinction there is Social Security. Have we got a minute for this?
Yeah, it's deep. Go, buddy.
The Al Capone system is very, very, very simple. One was a taxpayer when and if they submitted a return and not a minute before. Okay, that carries over into the area that I start to attribute to the beginning of the tax protest era, which is 1950. There were all kinds of tax protest things going on before then, but it really wasn't a national burr in the blanket, a burr under the saddle, until about 1950. And that's when we start to see more and more people saying, nah, this is wrong. And standing up to it, thinking that they could throw the Constitution at it and prevail. And, of course, everybody that does that gets clobbered. But in the Capone era, the only way to be a taxpayer is to file a return. Going into trial then, Al Capone was a non-filer. And it was in the discussions in that point where they enter a plea agreement or enter any kind of plea other than not guilty that he volunteered. And I can't tell you right now that his lawyers actually knew what they were doing. I don't know. It doesn't matter. What we learned from the academic side here is that he was a non-filer going into that. The charge against him was totally bogus. Why? He never submitted a return. He was never a taxpayer. So that's that. Now that's changed. The system changed since then. We deal with a moving target. Once we understand that we're dealing with a commercial system, which I hope we're going to get into, once we understand we're dealing with a commercial system, we realize then we're dealing with a moving target. So what's different between Al Capone? There's a lot of people say, oh, I'm not a taxpayer because I never submitted a return. Okay, that may be correct, but that's not anything like the whole story. The whole story now is, now that we've got Social Security and various things with that particular number, it is possible to volunteer as of January 1, say of year 1, and need to file a return as of April 15 of year 2, and not ever having filed before. So the game has changed. And there is more to it now. It's a little bit more sophisticated. It just, you know, that's the boiling of the frog problem. You start off with cold water and you slowly warm it up. So that's what is happening with this system. And the thing to understand there is it has changed. Now, it hadn't changed much since then, but it has changed from the Capone era.
Now, it sounds like what we call in the military is a voluntold.
Well, you see, this is the concept that people start to adopt, and it's just not that way. They say, what you're saying is, what we see in the TV, you see in the movies, you, and you volunteer. Okay, that's really not what's happening here. It feels that way, but it feels that way because we don't yet really have our mind around the nature of the system, much less the mechanism. And toward the mechanism, I'm very reluctant to get into much details. I've had radio programs before where we did that, get a little bit into the details of it. And because some cobwebs are not taken out of the mind in that sort of bottom line process, the problems were exacerbated, let's say. They were made worse. And so I teach a course. Some think it's kind of pricey. Involves all decision makers. In other words, typically the husband and the wife. If there's just one decision maker in the family, then it's just one. But to go through the fundamentals of the system, to have the whole thing in mind before trying to do anything, is really the only way to do it. Because once one has in mind what's involved, then it's not a happenstance decision, and one has a real good idea should the need to show up in court arise. Some do, some don't. Then one is going to have a real good understanding of what has to be addressed in court and what can't be addressed in court in order to make the defense of the commercial decision stick.
So, Harmon, if, say, half of America stood up and said, if 10% is enough for God, it's enough for you. We're going to volunteer this 10%. You know, well, let's give them 9% because you're not as near as close as God. So if half of America stood up, they would have to take that 9% and be happy with it?
Not under the current system, no.
Okay. Just making sure, because I don't want them going to jail and we all pointing to our leader, Harmon.
Well, you see, where you just put your finger on the button here. There's so much to cover in order to make an informed decision on this particular issue that I reserve the great bulk of those details to private tutoring sessions, basically, private instruction. And so
there's a lot to talk with you about, Harmon, so you got to tease them a little bit. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you have some. You do. What you have now is a different starting place, and that's all the difference in the world. If in a radio program or two or three, we get to the understanding of the paradigm shift and the foundational place to start, then what we will have realized successfully is this fundamental reality. I got to learn you some things before I can teach you anything.
I like this guy, Harmon. You better at least show him a booby. Show him a booby.
So on the income tax thing specifically, if we've got a current agreement going, then whatever rates they've got published are the rates to go with, and we really don't have any discretion about that. We've agreed to whatever those rates are. So if there were a massive uprising and all the, say, 150 million, however many it is, taxpayers say, yeah, we're going to give you 10% and you can just forget the rest of it, then those people are going to get a letter and it's going to be kind of one of these automated things that say, we've reviewed your return and we think you owe us some more money. So congratulations. Thank you for playing. Here's a fine for this. Here's a penalty for that. Here's the interest rate, you know, 132% per week, whatever it is right now. I'm exaggerating. And we expect you to pay this yesterday or else your bill is going to be four times what it is if you pay it tomorrow. So I'm exaggerating. I'm overstating the point. But the point is we need to, if we've got the deal, then we need to do the deal according to its terms. So we won't be able to pick the rate.
Right. Now, when you refer to a moving target, does that have anything to do with, and is that something you go over with in your classes as far as the Federal Reserve Act has been amended 100 times since its inception?
The Federal Reserve Act and that banking system is a particular part of the lesson. And as mentioned earlier, the money system has its economic side. It's got its political side. The most insidious angle is the one that not very many people talk about. And that's the choice of law side.
The choice of law side. We'll leave it right there. And Harmon Taylor, our guest, will pick it up on the other side of this break. Andrew and everyone else on hold, we're going to get to your phone calls as well on the other side of this break. Harmon Taylor, Legal Reality at earthlink.net. You can go check that out. This gentleman is a patriot, and he's got a lot of teaching and learning to do for us.
That's so, some hard learning for you.
And for you, this is Earth.
Hi, folks. Ronnie McMullen here talking about the gain you receive from Get the Tea. A lot of food out there is not really food, but more like filler. Almost all fillers are GMO nightmares. When foreign fillers filled with toxins enter our body, well, we don't run so well. We are being bombarded with poor air quality, chemical water, and food fillers that abuse our bodies. And we wonder why they're building more hospitals. How about a clean checkup? Life Change Tea helps you fight toxins, fillers, bad air, and water. All you have to do is drink 2 8-ounce glasses of tea a day. Save money by getting healthy. Doctor visits are costly. Healthy exercise and Life Change Tea could be your answer. So order now at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Don't put it off. Call us, 928-308-0408. Again, 928-308-0408. And by the way, if you're going to call us, we say good call.
Oh, again? My computer has crashed. I think I'm going to throw this junk in the garbage can.
But wait, if your computer has been acting like a grouch, then call Oscar at G2 Computers at 425-3106. That's G2 Computers. At G2 Computers, you can get a computer starting at $180.
Well, what's that G2 Computer number again?
It's 425-3106. It's called G2 Computers.
You always taught me to be fair. No cutting in line.
Play by the rules.
Don't pick on the little kids.
Well, there's something I need to tell you.
Mommies and daddies should be that way too.
Every time you go to the store, you have a chance to be fair.
And it makes a huge difference.
Just look for the Fair Trade certified label on products in the grocery store.
It means that farmers are getting a fair deal.
That they can look forward to a brighter future.
Buy fair, be fair.
Visit befair.org to learn more.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Those words are just as true as they were back in 1961.
Carter Fleming, Community Center volunteer.
I am still trying to live up to that challenge. And with great privilege comes great responsibility.
Growing up in poverty taught me how to be determined, how to be goal-oriented.
Ray Wright, youth mentor.
I work with young people every day, and young people who have almost lost faith in the world surrounding them. I'm that ray of sunshine telling them we haven't been forsaken.
The giving spirit is as passionate in the boomers today as it was in our 20s, and we as a generation can still impact our country.
Lead, inspire, change the world again. Join thousands and find which volunteer opportunity is best for you. Call 1-800-424-8867 today or visit www.getinvolved.gov. This message is brought to you by the Corporation for National and Community Service and this station.
The most controversial planet in the solar system. You are listening to Earth.
Welcome back, folks. Speaking with Harmon Taylor in the second hour, your phone calls will continue. Toll free 1-855-711-8255. Once again, big welcome to all of our listeners to our new affiliate station to the Earth Radio Network, 810 AM WRSO in Orlando, Florida. Hello, everyone in Orlando. Very quickly, we'll go to the phones before this break. Andrew in Jacksonville, Florida. You are on with Harmon Taylor. Welcome.
Hey, guys. Great show so far. Kind of gives a different perspective on things, something that seems to be a little different than the usual shows, and I really enjoyed it. And like I always say, when we accept explanations without searching for the truth, we forfeit that truth. And I've been researching everything I'm here show, and I don't agree with 100% of it. Oh, 90, I do. And two things. My son, my 10-year-old son, noticed, Dad, we didn't go to the Blue Angels this year, you know, because they didn't come. I don't know what's going on with that. I guess the government did the cutbacks. But that's terrible, you know, a 10-year-old boy notices stuff like that. And then what about the Malaysian airliner and the similarities with the movie Nonstop and Hollywood and the Hollywood establishment? And also the Hollywood establishment putting a nix on Lone Survivor, the best movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Something's, the CIA knows what is going on. I cannot believe there were two American girls, young kids on that flight. Something has to be done now.
All right, Andrew, we're going to be looking into that further as weeks go by. If you know our show, we don't jump on anything right away. We are looking into it, but I appreciate all the kind words, and we shall look forward to hearing from you again. Harmon, go ahead, Drake.
The thing real quick that I like that Harmon said is he don't agree with everything. I love that. That means he'll go check it out. I love that, Harmon. Andrew. Thanks, Andrew. I appreciate that.
Very, very true. Harmon Taylor is our guest. Go ahead, Amendment Avengers.
Well, I wanted to mention the eight Supreme Court cases that were between 1916 and 1919 concerning judicial review, which I have my own opinion about judicial review, but it happened between 1916 and 1919 dealing with income tax, saying that it gave Congress no new powers of taxation, that it was a corporate tax, that wages in exchange for labor are not income tax, and that that they're two totally different things, and that your wages in exchange for labor are not only your private property, but they're not taxable. And I was wondering if you wanted to talk about those, any of those cases, anything in particular you'd like to tell us about.
We got 2 minutes, Harmon. Short segment right here. Go ahead.
The income tax covers all worldwide assets. So under the current mechanism, labor is taxable. It is not something limited to the commercial world. And it's the explanation for all that takes a while. But yeah, when they go after the individuals and say you owe something and it's for your wages, then the IRS position, the department's position is correct, and the taxpayer is just not in any, they're on sinking sand, as it were, to argue against those.
Sinking sand. That's a good visual right there. That's a good visual for me, Harmon. In the second hour, folks, we're going to get into the big question. Does this country operate under a constitution, or has it been a big facade for quite some time? Longer than I've been around, longer than probably anyone listening to this show has been around. Have we not been operating under a constitution? We're going to be discovering that in the second hour with our guest, Harmon Taylor. And your phone calls will continue. Toll free 1-855-711-8255. Somewhere in Jacksonville, Florida, deep inside Black Sheep Studios, we make Pappy Boynton proud right here. Ba-ba, Black Sheep Squadron. This is Earth.
Listening to Earth. The guys are taking a break, getting ready for hour two, and I'm sure that if you've been paying attention, you're processing what you have heard so far. Now, as Dr. Drake likes to say, we don't want you to believe us just on what you have heard. Check it out for yourself and make your own decision on whether or not you are hearing the truth. What's really going on? Is this a total departure from what you know is real? Or is it simply enhancing your worldview? That is a question only you can answer. We are simply opening the door to new ideas. Keep in mind that you can call into the show and give us your comments. The number is 855-711-TALK. That's 1-855-711-8255. On the program tonight is Harmon Taylor. In this world of half-truths and open-ended questions, he has dedicated his life to altering the understanding of more people, to wake them up to the truth. We'll have more with him in a moment, but first, more news from the most controversial planet in the solar system. Right now, telescopes all over the world are gearing up for what some believe to be the cosmic event of the year. They are turning to our galaxy's center, where for the first time ever, they may have a front-row look at a supermassive black hole consuming a gas cloud. By observing this galactic snack fest, astronomers should be able to figure out what's going on in the black hole's immediate vicinity and potentially even witness some gas disappear into the massive object's maw. What they see may help scientists solve a decades-old puzzle about why our galaxy's central black hole is so quiet. The gas cloud currently headed there could either continue on its current orbit and slingshot around, or it could run into surrounding gas and dust, which will make it lose speed and start sliding down toward the black hole. The first scenario could give scientists insight into the evolution of galaxies and better understand the history of our Milky Way's own black hole. In the second case, they might get to watch the black hole consume a sizable dinner. Either way, they expect to glean some clues into the center of our own Milky Way galaxy. And news from here on Earth, the world's largest solar plant is in the news again. This time, more because of an unintended side effect than the power it is generating from the sun. It seems that pilots flying airplanes near the Ivanpah solar power plant are being blinded by all those garage door-sized mirrors used to focus and concentrate the sun's light onto three towers that collect the solar energy. And it's not only pilots that are having trouble. It's been reported that the concentrated beams of sunlight fry birds that unknowingly fly into them. No solution for the problem at Ivanpah as of yet, except for the suggestion that pilots should steer clear of the power plant, especially on sunny days. Stay tuned. More with our guest, Harmon Taylor, when Hour 2 of Earth starts next.
Don't you be very long, please. The opinions provided by the hosts and guests on the radio show Earth do not express or imply the views of this station's management or that of the ownership of this station. In fact, it's just two guys lost in space.
I imagine that right now you're feeling a bit like Alice. Tumbling down the rabbit hole? You have the look of a man who accepts what he sees because he is expecting to wake up. Ironically, this is not far from the truth. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter in your mind. Do you want to know what it is? It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave like everyone else. You were born into bondage, born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, you have to see it for yourself. Remember.
Do you really?
All I'm offering is the truth. Nothing more.
And the radio show Earth is that red pill, the red pill of truth.
Welcome back to second hour tonight's transmission, the 15th of March 2014 or 2014, as you like it. Harmon Taylor is our guest, and folks, in this hour, we're going to get deep and heavy into whether or not we actually operate under a constitution, the constitution that we've been taught. Very quickly, Gil, Jacksonville, Florida, you're on with Harmon Taylor. Welcome.
Good evening, gentlemen. I have a question for your guest. First, the 16th Amendment is such a blanketed amendment, and it says that the Congress has the right to collect the taxes however it sees fit. So then that volunteer method that they use, isn't that within their right to do so?
Do we have a congressionally compelled act of volunteering? In other words, are we back in the Navy? You, and you volunteer. It's a great question. It's a real paradigm challenger. And I'll address the question with two different concepts. The 16th Amendment, according to the Bill Bensons of the world, who are 100% correct, was never ratified correctly. And in the same breath, here's the other concept, the 16th Amendment is irrelevant to the mechanism by which one volunteers to be a taxpayer. The 16th Amendment is a cover story, and it's a brilliant cover story. But no, there's absolutely nothing that the Congress can do to compel anyone to be a taxpayer. Once one is a taxpayer, one needs to do the taxpayer jig, as it were. If we're going to get into that duty, we need to perform it, and we need to perform it competently. But no, there's nothing in the Congress, there's nothing anywhere that can compel anyone to be a taxpayer. That's the voluntary thing. That's why we have this answer the way it's answered. If it's voluntary, why do people lose their homes and go to jail? And the answer is they don't realize how they volunteered. So does that address the question?
It does somewhat, because like I said in the beginning, it says they have the right to do it however they see fit to do it. So if they put this volunteer method on you, I mean, how are you going to argue it?
Because the answer to that question is, after considerable focus on what in the world it is they're doing, and then you argue it, and the argument that prevails is going to be one of how one knows that one didn't volunteer. And if there's any doubt at all, then presume one has volunteered. See, this is kind of the problem about this topic. There's no way to cover it in one program. There's no way to cover it in a year of programs. And the reason is that every mind comes into this with its own set of cobwebs. And part of the learning that has to go on before anything can be taught includes some rather uncomfortable unlearning. This is the problem. So in general, yeah, we argue it right after we understand it. And we understand it when we know which facts matter. We know the law right after we know what the facts matter. If we don't know which facts matter, then we don't know the law yet. So, where you're headed is, you've studied this a lot. You've got a very sensible question. And the mechanism on income tax is just not what it's been made out to be. And so the Congress can collect from taxpayers according to the mechanisms that they're using, yes. No person on the face of this planet can compel anybody to be a taxpayer. So those who are taxpayers, in other words, got there one and only one way, and that's 100% voluntarily. And that's a burn. When we get down to the bottom line, that's a burn. There's no way we've been told anything close to the mechanism. If we understood it as a people, we'd stop doing it. It's that simple. And so as we get more and more and more things like the Obamacare and this and that, where people are saying, what in the world is going on? Then more people are saying, how do we get into this? And so those are the minds that are ready to go into that next step to say, yeah, we need to know what this is.
Harmon, I appreciate what you said about the 13th Amendment not being, or the 16th Amendment not being correctly ratified. In fact, Kentucky passed a resolution against the 16th Amendment, but yet they show up on the list as one of the states that ratified it. So that's a complete
fraud.
Yeah,
that whole study, Bill Benson put a book together, and I mean, he just nailed it about what did and didn't happen with the 16th Amendment. And here's the problem. Bill Benson and all those who have studied that out are 100% correct. The 16th Amendment was never properly ratified. And in the very same breath, we've got to go to the next sentence. The 16th Amendment is irrelevant to everything. It doesn't matter whether we have it or not. It's just, it's not 100% true. It matters that we have it because why? Because that's the cover story, but that's all that it is. It's the cover story. It allows all of the marketing that has followed.
Hey, Harmon, can we get some of these calls out of the way? People have been holding for such a long time.
Sure, absolutely. Fire away.
We'll continue.
Thanks for the call and the question.
Great call.
Thank you, Gil, and we'll stay in Florida. Ron, everyone else on hold, we're coming to you. Mike, Fernandina Beach, Florida. Welcome. You're on with Harmon Taylor. Hello, Mike.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, okay. I was wanting to ask him a two-part question, and it's dealing with taxation and actual ownership. As I understand it, and I've asked because I do own property in two different states, and I know one of my places is completely debt-free, but I can't get a deed. In other words, there's no deeds to property anymore. It's just a registration in the courthouse. That being one, how did that come about? Because used to, back in the old days, people got deeds to property once they were clear. And then you have the problem with your income tax that you have right now. There is no money, no legal form of money in circulation now. It's only bookkeeping entries. And the way people, I feel, get taxed is whenever you get a paycheck, per se, or you sign for automatic deposit, you are agreeing or saying that you're getting paid in dollars, which you are not getting paid in dollars. You're getting paid in federal notes, which is a debt, which already has a first lien on it. And I'll take it off there and listen to your answer for that.
Thank Great. Let me answer the first one really quickly. There are deeds. There are things in real property that may be something that we want to explore in a different show. There are several things that are different now that the money system changed, which happened circa 1965. And so, yes, there are different documents, there are different processes in different places, and there are deeds. It can take some work to get there. That's really brief question answer on the first question. The second one, where we're dangerously close here, is with the Erwin Schiff position. And he wrote a bunch of books, and he talks about the zero value of the funny money. Economically, that's correct. The problem there is dollar is a unit recognized in this alternative place. And what do I mean by the alternative place? If we were on the land, if we were under a common law system, we could call the place America. Okay, that's not United States. United States in its current existence is a construct. It's an abstract construct. And so when we trade with funny money, we're saying we picked this abstract place called United States to provide the choice of law, to provide the rules of decision. And so dollar isn't quite so much an economic thing. Down that path, you're 100% correct. Dollar has not been defined for a long time. Mm-hmm. It used to be defined as a weight measured in grains of fine silver. And that's been gutted. That's been gutted in both major marketplaces, one, the national marketplace, and two, the state marketplaces. Two different levels of economic activity, two different levels of legal standards. Dollar had to be gutted in both of those to have what we've got right now. So, correct, we don't have anything defined as dollar except when we get to the concept of choice of law. And to use the term dollar is a choice of law identifier. And of course, this is what got von Notthaus into trouble with the Liberty Dollar. He tried to mix and match these two choices of law. It's like trying to put Germany and Great Britain together in one coin. He unilaterally, without license from the Department of the Treasury, decided that a silver 1 troy ounce 0.999 fine silver coin should have such and such number of dollars associated with it, and that's what got him in trouble. So the thing about dollar is it is a choice of law thing, and it is a unit that works for the income tax. So if you're concerned about it, then just pretend you're a taxpayer and go with their understanding of it, because that's exactly what the judges are going to do.
Ron in Jacksonville, Florida. Lucille, everyone who dropped off, call right back and we'll get to your phone calls. Toll free 1-855-711-8255. Very quickly, Harmon, I'm going to bring up this Constitution thing. Basically, it all comes together, right? It all comes together. But when we came back from break, we have this scene from the Matrix and Lawrence Fishburne's character
Morpheus
is talking about how we're all born into bondage. Well, isn't this whole Federal Reserve system and the taxation system, all the central banks, not just the Federal Reserve, but all the central banks throughout this world, that the Western banking cartels or Western European banking cartels or New World Order, isn't this their whole system of bondage and control over us?
It's the choice of law that goes with it is key to the bondage, and what that character talks about, it's one of the most accurate understandings that has been produced in a movie. That series of movies around the Matrix are some of the most accurate depictions of what we're dealing with. It's astonishing how close they are in those movies. What he's talking about there is bondage of the mind, a prison in the mind, and it cannot be stated more accurately than the way that character states it in that part of that movie. Bondage of the mind, prison of the mind, We are fed a certain paradigm from our youth, and it's repeated so often we accept it as truth. And so when we get to something, in other words, we take the red pill, all of a sudden we're in a different paradigm. It's a difficult paradigm adjustment. It is. Yes, prison in the mind is exactly right. We're not really told the truth about anything. Pick a topic.
Well, let me just kind of bounce this off of you since you're talking about prison of the mind. Have you ever had a chance to actually Google the satellite maps, overview maps of Washington? Because there's a lot of streets designed with satanic undertows or masons. I mean, like the White House. It's like the top of the pyramid. Same thing on the back of the dollar. Have you ever had a chance to Google or do a overview maps of Washington? It's, all the streets are satanically designed.
Yes, it's very Masonic. I've seen overview pictures. There have been more of the sketchings over the maps, the street maps.
Right.
I have not studied specifically any of the satellite photos, but I think I have in mind what you're talking about. And the answer is, yeah, that whole area was very deliberately planned that way. And when we factor in that sort of concept into what we may get into about the Constitution,
right,
we see that as a people, through the leadership, we weren't really ready for a republic. The republic works with self-governance. That starts with the person in the mirror.
Wow.
And where the person in the mirror is going off down some of these worldly points of view, then we're not quite ready. And we see that in everything that's developed from that moment to this.
Harmon, when you and I spoke privately over the phone, I wrote something down that came to mind, and I wrote down the ultimate distraction. Because
yes.
And you agreed with me, right?
And still do. It's a great description.
The ultimate distraction, and this is what I got from my private conversation with Harmon, folks, everyone listening. I wrote down the ultimate distraction because, as he explained to me, everyone calling in, we're getting to your phone calls right away. As he explained to me this fact that we're not operating under a constitution, it was a hard pill for me to swallow. And the reason why ultimate distraction came along is because, well, if we're not operating under a constitution, yet we're told that we have a constitution all of our lives, well, that's the biggest distraction. That's the biggest distraction, and we're going to get into it heavy with Harmon, and he's going to explain. He's going to put the case out there about the constitution not really being around in just a moment, Tito. Very quickly, we'll try and grab a phone call. Jimmy in Jacksonville, Florida, you're on with Harmon. Welcome.
Yeah, I'd like to ask Harmon something about Oklahoma City. I wonder if he's ever heard the name Gary Best.
There are probably a lot of names, and I probably should have that flash in the mind, but it just doesn't right now. It may be too long since I've been heavy into that. Where does that name come up for you?
He was an arms dealer and drug dealer for the government. He bought a toy shop in Atlanta from Bob Fletcher. And when he left Atlanta, he went to Oklahoma City and opened a meat packing company, and he became friends with the governor. But just before Oklahoma City happened, the governor was told to disassociate himself with this guy. So I don't know.
That's an angle on that matter I can confirm I have not studied.
I tell you what, Jimmy, give me that name again, and I'll ask Holland, one of our guests, Holland Van Nieuwenhoff, who did the documentary on Oklahoma City. What's that name?
Gary Best. I've heard Bob Fletcher talk about him. Fletcher owned a toy company up in Atlanta back in the early 80s, late 80s, and this guy came in one day and bought him out, hired him back to run the company, and Fletcher found out that the company was a front for drugs and arms. Fletcher went on later on. He was the investigator for Sonny Bono in Congress.
Okay, Jimmy, I will get on this. I've got it written down, and I promise to try and have an answer for you as soon as possible. Okay.
And another question I had for Harmon was: okay, does he know the story of John Familley and John Connally
in the Kennedy matter?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Jonathan May and John Conley.
Talk to the audience about what you have in mind about that.
Well, they were going to start another banking system in Texas, and the currency was going to be backed by natural resources and silver.
And of course, that never developed.
No, they put Jonathan May in prison. He was from England. I mean, they had a good idea, but
the brand.
You never hear anybody talk about it when Kennedy was brought up.
And the whole mechanism there on the Kennedy deal has everything to do with this funny money. He had originally agreed, and this isn't directly related to your question, it's just fill in for where you're headed with that. Kennedy originally agreed with the Western European banking cartel representatives, yeah, let's go ahead and gut silver out of the marketplace. And then for some reason, and I'll just attribute it to divine intervention, I know he had to have had a lot of conversations with people that knew, he said, I can't do that. And that's when we get into this executive order thing and the whole setup of the series of events that led to the assassination right here in Dallas. But what you're talking about is the solution for this country. And that's to have a system that's based on assets, not debt. So anybody that moves in a position of solving the problem is going up against the Federal Reserve System, which is pretty much what we're seeing China and Russia do, and hence all of the problems that they're having over there, because the Western European banking cartel is not going down without a fight. Yeah, what you're talking about on the Kennedy deal with Connolly and the banking here is another one of those just really not talked about matters. And thanks for raising that, because you're at the heart of the problem of this entire nation, and it's our currency.
Well, I don't question that. I think there's one state, I think it's South Dakota. All their banks are state chartered, and their banks are backed by natural resources.
Well, that's scriptural, you see. That's what works.
Oh, I understand that. President Reagan didn't like the Federal Reserve System either. He hated it.
And they took a pot shot at him, too.
Beg your pardon?
They took a pot shot at him, too.
March of 1981.
They couldn't kill Nixon. He didn't like the system either. But they couldn't kill him because they just killed Kennedy. So they assassinated his reputation.
Nixon didn't like the Zionist Jews. And you can see that on YouTube. I don't know if you've ever seen it. He refers to them as those goddamn Jews. That's his exact words.
but we'll talk about that sometime. But anyway, where you're headed is straight down toward this same issue, and you're informed on this. And thanks for the call. I mean, that's where we need to head. You're right on top of it,
Jimmy. Appreciate the phone call. Always interesting information that all of our great listeners have. When they choose to pick up the phone and give us a call, toll-free 1-855-711-8255 is the number if you'd like to join the conversation.
That's 855-711-TALK, 855-711-TALK.
Harmon Taylor is our guest, Amendment Avenger, riding shotgun in studio with us tonight. This is Earth.
Folks, Ronnie McMullen here talking about the gain you receive from Get the Tea. A lot of food out there is not really food, but more like filler. Almost all fillers are GMO nightmares. When foreign fillers filled with toxins enter our body, well, we don't run so well. We are being bombarded with poor air quality, chemical water, and food fillers that abuse our bodies. Huh. And we wonder why they're building more hospitals. How about a clean checkup? Life Change Tea helps you fight toxins, fillers, bad air, and water. All you have to do is drink 2 8-ounce glasses of tea a day. Save money by getting healthy. Doctor visits visits are costly. Healthy exercise and life change tea could be your answer. So order now at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Don't put it off. Call us 928-308-0408. Again, 928-308-0408. And by the way, if you're going to call us, we say good call.
Chuck Bergman, psychic medium, will amaze you.
My dad passed away 3 years ago in September.
So it's funny how sometimes they never know what they're going to talk about. Did you ever have to have a car crushed? Does that make sense?
That was his job. He would crush the cars.
Say what now?
He would crush cars.
So, Matt, he really crushed cars for a living?
Yes, sir.
If you have ever wanted to communicate with a loved one who has passed on, call on North Florida's best medium, Chuck Bergman.
Did he leave behind a sister?
It's his older sister that pretty much raised him like his
son. Sure, that would work. Okay, because he visits with her a lot. I don't know if she's aware of that or not. And now we got to give a quick message to Mom. Who's got the February birthday?
My mom.
Okay, that's a happy birthday to her. Also, a happy Valentine's Day coming up. He still loves her. Boy, he was like circling February over and over.
Book your private reading by visiting ChuckBergman.com or call 904-291-1196.
We all share a common journey. We wanted to serve our country and protect the things we love. But for some of us, coming home was more of a challenge than we expected. In the service, we had each other's backs. But as veterans, it can sometimes feel like we're all alone.
For confidential support, call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
Now you can share the topics that drive the discussions of your favorite talk shows with TalkStream Live's topic-driven talk radio.
We gotta talk. Take a drive.
List and promote real-time talk radio topics or post the topics that you want to hear. Topics are tweeted and retweeted and include simple click to listen audio links. The future of talk radio is topic-driven talk radio.
That's what I call real drive.
Available now at TalkStreamLive.com.
Sometime, what better place than here? What better time than now?
Call to Earth, dial 1-855-711-TALK. That's 1-855-711-TALK. Now back to the show. Here's Dr. Drake and Dr. Truth.
Rage Against the Machine right there with Guerrilla Radio. You are truly listening to Guerrilla Radio, a radio show called Earth.
Turn that it up.
Everyone hearing us for the first time in Orlando on 810 AM WRSO. You can go to earthradionetwork.com to check out our show. Ronald and everyone else on hold, we're coming right to you. Harmon Taylor is our guest. Harmon Taylor is a good friend of our engineer, Don, and you hear me talk about our engineer, Don, at the end of every show, folks. This show is only made possible because of our engineer, Don.
He's the man.
And Harmon's been a friend for a long time. Sentinel, you might want to open the mic very quickly because just a little bit ago, one of the most important people to the Earth Radio Network, Mr. Don, our engineer, he had a birthday, so we'd all like to
let's do it quick.
Sing a quick happy birthday to our engineer, Don.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Don Engineer. Happy birthday to you.
Okay, let's get back with
you. We love you, Don.
Anymore.
We love you, Don.
I'm taking this call real quick.
Very, very quickly. Ronald, before we continue.
Ronald, welcome to Earth.
Hello.
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
All right. How are you guys doing?
Hey, man, we're doing pretty good. What's on your mind?
All right. I was in Florida, man. There's a case about last month. This guy, he killed a teenager. And, he wasn't tried for murder. I'm pretty sure you're familiar with this case.
Okay.
Yeah, my nephew, this guy's standing in front of, his name's Cooter, he's standing in front of the Walmart, and this guy leaves his car. You know, I just want to talk about the Florida legal system. It's just, you know, this guy's standing in front of his car, and my nephew's in front of the building. The guy goes in the building, and my nephew, you know, he decides he wants to steal the car. He steals the car. And the guy happens to be one of those doctors, what do you call it? They work on, they have like the fake arms and legs and stuff.
Prosthetics.
Cooter is
prosthetic
off.
Limbs and stuff.
Cooter.
Right?
Yeah, we here, buddy.
All right, the prosthetic limbs, right? And my nephew steals the car, gets pulled over like two lights down, right? Uh-huh. And, you know, guess what they charged the boy with? It was the guy had four prosthetic arms in his trunk. And that's what they charged my nephew with.
What they charge him with, Ronald?
Four counts of armed robbery, man. You know what that is, right?
Okay. Ronald, thanks for the call. Four counts of arms. Yeah, hey, man, we get them from the woodworks, man.
We get them from all
my peoples, man. They're my peoples.
Interesting, Ron. Interesting. I like it. I like it. Carmen.
That was good.
Harmon, very quickly, before we continue with you, Amendment Avenger wanted to bring up a certain point, which I think is very poignant to continue with the discussion tonight.
Real quick, have you guys heard of Hamilton's Curse?
Hamilton's,
which one?
Ooh, I yes. like that.
Hamilton's Curse has been referred to as, for example, they accredit the Federal Reserve and the whole banking system of America that happens as Hamilton's Curse. Tom DiLorenzo even wrote a book about it called Hamilton's Curse. What's interesting is that it's attributed to Hamilton, and yes, Hamilton did lie to Washington when he said it was constitutional, and Washington believed him because it was his favorite crony. But what's very interesting is if you look at the Coinage Act of 1792 that established the dollar as the American currency, because Spanish dollars were already in circulation, British pounds were forbidden, and as economic warfare and part of the revolution and everything. But if you read Article 19 of that Coinage Act of 1792, it actually states in there that anybody who shall debase the value of the currency shall suffer death. So according to that, to Hamilton's credit, he would have executed Bernanke and Greenspan and Yellen and all those others who deliberately debased the value of the currency. And that's actually to Hamilton's credit. So I just wanted to know what you thought about that.
What the official perspective is, the debasing of the currency has never really been done by law. And this is such a rub. It's been done 100% voluntarily. We don't have to use funny money. We have full access to the same honest weights and measures system that we had when this nation started. We don't have to use funny money. So if there is a debasing of it, it happens by the person we find in the mirror, by the choice, which has been made ever so convenient for us, of course, by the choice of using that stuff. This is how they avoid what you're describing there fundamentally as an act of treason. And these choices of law take us there immediately. It is fundamentally an act of war to do what happened in 65 of changing out the currency. That's fundamentally an act of war. And it would be an act of war if we were compelled to use it. And we have never been compelled to use it. Mm. Interesting, huh?
Yes.
Wow, shocking.
Harmon, 2 hours of radio is not enough to cover many subjects, period. So,
amen. No, we just get started good in 2 hours.
Just getting the car warm.
Very, very true. So I hope you will come back.
I appreciate that. I look forward to it.
Okay, so with the rest of this particular segment here, let's let you make your case for us not operating under the Constitution, and we'll just
okay.
We'll come
fundamentally,
in here.
this set of ideas, if they are what they purport to be, which is supreme law of the land, in other words, admissible evidence of law, then it has to be a package deal. We don't get to pick and choose, oh, we take this part out of Article 1, that part out of Article 2, and this part out of Article 3, etc., and say we got a Constitution. No, it's all or nothing.
So you mean it's not the pirate code?
Right, exactly. It's all or nothing. We either have all of it or we have none of it. So in the Terre Haute litigation, for example, just to give one example, and we'll come back and hit a couple of fundamental concepts, then back on the main question. But to give an example, if we had a constitution, then the national judiciary would be created by and therefore limited by that language. The first main point, and this is what I put in the brief in the original appeal, the amicus brief, and again in the Terre Haute litigation, how in the world does a court in Colorado have jurisdiction over those cases? Article 3, Section 2, Article 4, Section 2, and the Sixth Amendment all support this concept that we know commonly called extradition. What's extradition for? Extradition says there's one state that has jurisdiction of the crime, and if the bad guy runs away and we catch him somewhere else, we get to bring him back. He doesn't get refuge by getting out of the state. If he's in another state and they catch him, then they get to bring him back. That's extradition. Okay, that's Article 3, Section 2, Article 4, Section 2, and the Sixth Amendment. They all confirm that there's one state, I'll get it out eventually, one state that has jurisdiction over the crime. Okay, what state has jurisdiction over the crime of the Murrah Building bombing stuff? Oklahoma. So why in the world is it being tried in Colorado? And how do they justify exporting a criminal case? Okay, so we've just named three provisions. None of them apply. And so we've now got to ask ourselves, we've got one example here. That's all we've got. We've got one example with the logical premise that we've either got all or nothing. So what do we have? Nothing, because we've got some pieces missing. And this is the study I went through after the ruling on appeal in the Terre Haute litigation that described that 100% Constitution-based case generally this way and in this sequence. They agreed, I should say this, it was a padded 2x4. The padding was the initial confirmation that the survivors of the bombing, Jane Graham was on the 9th floor and V.Z. Lawton, who has since passed away, is on the 8th floor. These people survived the bombing by being in the building when it went off. Okay, do they have standing? Do they have standing to preserve evidence? And the court said yes. And the other one had to do with the procedures on perpetuation of testimony. Okay, so they agreed with us. And then they shredded the case, absolutely shredded it. Take a paper, run it through cross-cut shredding machine, and then take those pieces and run it through again. You get dust. This is what the appellate court did to this 100% Constitution-based case. They said it's frivolous, without merit, of no authority, and ludicrous. Okay, so that's a pretty good clue. You know how some of these teeth pain relievers instantly go in, they instantly start numbing the gum? When the court got to this of no authority part, that went in immediately. What the court was taking the time to teach me was your analysis here is great, but your premise is false. So this is the start of it. And so to teach this, we go to the start. Okay, Constitution's a package deal. It's all or nothing. Okay, they just transferred a criminal case across the state lines. That kicks out Article 3, Section 2, Article 4, Section 2, and the Sixth Amendment. There's another position that we argued in there, and that has to do with the difference between the legislative power and the exclusive legislative authority. And the long and the short of it is, under the legislative power, there's no authority to define homicide. But under the exclusive legislative authority, where Congress wears the state legislative hat, They've got the authority, and I argue the duty, to do all what the state legislatures do. So it would be exclusive legislative authority by which we would get a definition of homicide out of Congress, and it'd be fully legitimate. But where does Article 3 jurisdiction extend? If the Constitution limited the judicial power, if it created it and therefore limited it, then it would be impossible to try a homicide case in the U.S. trial courts. Wow. Why? Because U.S. trial courts, per Article 3, do not have jurisdiction over matters that arise under law of the district. And homicide can't be law of the United States. It can be law of the district, but law of the district doesn't get you into an Article 3 court. These are the two fundamental issues that we raised in Terre Haute litigation. And again, on appeal, the Seventh Circuit took the time to teach some things that I think I didn't really need to learn, but obviously I did.
Wow.
And so they called the 100% Constitution case frivolous, without merit, of no authority, and ludicrous.
Wow.
So that's a paradigm adjustment.
Man, I love it. Let's get some of these calls out the way again. The number to call if you'd like to join in, you need to get in, get out quick now. It's 855-711-TALK. That's 855-711-TALK. Let's go to Jesus or Jesus. I'm just kidding. Welcome to Earth.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, you got it. What's on your mind? What's on your mind?
What's the topic? I just chimed in.
Oh, you gotta be checking it out to just jump in, because the guy was talking about different topics. But
hey, Jesus, we're talking about the Constitution and whether or not it exists tonight. Did you have any question for our guest, Harmon Taylor?
No, not at all.
Okay, well, appreciate you checking in.
Yep, thanks for listening.
Yes, please continue listening, Jesus, and we'll definitely get you a phone call next time.
You got it, brother. Take care. Well, sometimes people just, you know, when you give out the number, they want to call in. And just say, hey, man, what's up?
Participation is great.
What we should have did is say, hey, well, Florida, the Gators get knocked out next week, you know, tomorrow, you know, something like that. You know, have something that everybody can talk about.
So, Harmon, you give an example here of, now, you give an example with the whole Oklahoma City case that you were involved in. The question comes to mind about the Murrow Building. That was a federal building, so does that have anything to do with where they had jurisdiction to move it anywhere?
Let's go into that, because that's an exclusive legislative authority issue. For land to be considered to be owned by the national system, for the land to be treated as owned by the national system, if the Constitution has anything to do with it, two items of evidence have to exist. There has to be a title transferring the land as described into the name of the national system. In other words, government of the United States, United States, something like that. And there has to be legislation approving, state legislation approving that title transfer. So, regarding the land on which the Murrow Building stood and the new building stands, guess what? No title transfer and no legislation by the Oklahoma legislature.
Hey, can I add something to that? As far as the Sixth Amendment says, in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial in the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law. So,
there you go. That's the Sixth Amendment part, and you'll find similar language in the other two provisions. Yeah.
So it says all criminal prosecutions. And
exactly.
This is a federal constitution, not a state constitution. So this is dealing with federal matters.
Absolutely. So, it's in that court. So how in the world did they get it out of Oklahoma? And the answer is, you ready? We're not dealing with a multiplicity of states. We can go to the 17th Amendment as the place to start. This is just another example of what is not in this package deal. The original legislative plan is to have two houses, one for the people and one for what?
The states
pick the senators represent the state interests. The House represents the interest of the people. What does the 17th Amendment do? It guts the original legislative plan. It says the senators will now be chosen by the people. Oops.
Yeah, so they can go off to Washington, D.C. for 6 years and get bought off and forgotten about, and by the time it's time for you to reelect them, you forgot why you were mad at them.
That's right.
Well, that's a political side. The legal side looks at that and says, okay, if the people are doing it, the states are not.
Mm. Very, very interesting discussion tonight. Harmon Taylor is our guest. Legal Reality _, right? Legal Reality at earthlink.net. He chose Earthlink because he loves the show Earth.
Absolutely.
Harmon Taylor is our guest. Short segment on the other side, folks, to finish up with Harmon. We're going to have to bring him back because there's too much to talk about in a two-hour show. As he said, we could have tons and tons of shows to talk about this topic. Amendment Avenger, we welcome him back to studio with us. He's been on hiatus for a little while, somewhere in Jacksonville, Florida. It's a Saturday night right here on the one and only Earth.
Oh, again? My computer has crashed. I think I'm going to throw this junk in the garbage can.
But wait, if your computer has been acting like a grouch, then call Oscar at G2 Computers at 425-3106. That's G2 Computers. At G2 Computers, you can get a computer starting at $180.
Well, what's that G2 Computer number again?
It's 425-3106. It's called G2 Computers.
Hello, this is Ty Bollinger, author of the best-selling book, Cancer, Step Outside the Box. I want you to know some very important information. In 1985, President Ronald Reagan requested that Carnivora be sent directly to the White House at a time when only the president could obtain this world-class healer. Now, 27 years later, Carnivora capsules are used around the world to keep people healthy. Now you can protect yourself and your loved ones in this age of superbugs with 17 naturally occurring compounds that instinctively respond to abnormal cells only without harming a single normal cell. If you want to stay healthy, now's your chance to literally wake up your critical immune cells to attack harmful invaders that don't belong in your body. Call 1-866-VENUS-FLY or order from carnivora.com. That's carnivora.com. That's 1-866-836-8735, 1-866-VENUS-FLY, or visit carnivora.com. Protect your immune system. It's the only one you've got.
Freedom.
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 Freedom of speech.
It means I never have to hesitate
when I want to give my opinion.
It means even if what I'm saying is utterly foolish,
it won't cost me because I
have a guaranteed right to say it.
A guaranteed right to say it.
Congress shall make no law.
No law.
No law abridging the use of it.
Free of charge and free of restrictions.
It's freedom of speech. Embrace it.
This message is brought to you by the NAB Education Foundation, the Broadcast Education Association, McCormick Foundation, and this station.
One day, I'll teach chemistry to kids.
I'm going to be an architect.
My dream is to be a chef.
This is a world of possibilities. A world in which people who put their minds to something can really make a difference.
My goal is to help the environment.
Someday, I'll find a cure for cancer.
At the U.S. Department of Education's Office of Federal Student Aid, we believe that aspiring minds can achieve anything. So we dedicate ourselves to making sure everyone has an opportunity to go to college. Each year, we provide more than $150 billion in grants, loans, and work-study funds, making higher education possible for anyone at any stage of life.
I can go back to college.
I can change careers.
I can make a difference.
Federal Student Aid, proud sponsor of the American Mind. Learn more about money for college at studentaid.gov.
Now, back to Earth, the most controversial planet in the solar system. Here's Dr. Drake and Dr. Truth.
Short segment here, folks, before we end tonight's transmission. I want to say big thanks to everyone listening on the Hazy Radio Network, hazyradionetwork.com. Folks, you can go check that out. Great shows there, including Crossing the Void Radio. Big hello to Scott Hare and everyone at Crossing the Void Radio. And also TalkStream Live. Bill Fries does an incredible job with TalkStream Live. It's an innovative way to listen to so many talk radio programs. Go to TalkStreamLive.com. Upcoming guest next week, Dave Hodges, host of the Common Sense Show, his own huge radio show, big into the whole New World Order construct, and his expertise we look forward to next Saturday night. And then Amy Waters-Jarzynski, former Navy intelligence officer, joins us. New information she's uncovered on the Navy SEAL Team 6 murders. And, of course, Governor Jesse Ventura awaits us coming into April and May. Right now we're talking with Harmon Taylor. Harmon, this is a short segment. We have to get you back on because this topic is too deep and too broad to get into a two-hour edition. So if you promise to come back on, we'll promise to let you fire out your information.
Excellent. I look forward to it, really.
Great. You've been a treat tonight.
Well, thank you. Y'all run such a great program here. It's just a pleasure to be part of it.
Well, go ahead, brother.
Well, Harmon, let everyone know how they can get in touch with you, because with this short segment, we don't want to get into too much right now.
Right. Well, just to hit a couple of things about the Constitution, I was giving some examples. At the beginning, we go all the way back, and then people say, oh, we had lost it here, lost it there, lost it there. We never had it. To understand that we had a democracy means to change that form, we had to act by democratic lawmaking process, which means those with suffrage had to participate directly. There was never a plebiscite. The people never participated. That's one way we know we never had a constitution. The other is, when we look at it, we see that citizen of the United States is never defined, which means we don't know to whom that program was designed to apply. So procedurally it failed, substantively it failed, and we have an awful lot of examples, thousands and thousands, where if the Constitution would apply, we'd get a different result legislatively and judicially. Contact information is what you've been talking about. LEGAL_REALITY, legal_reality at earthlink.net is a good starting place.
Also, if you want to see a copy of the Monopoly money, how it's actually the same color as your current fake money, email me at surgerycontrol@hotmail.com. That's surgerycontrol@hotmail.com. We had amazing, great shows. Funny, I mean, you know, deep information, great guests, great calls. You know, one thing I love about our show, man, I love it when our people can give out information you can check out yourself. I love it.
Harmon Taylor, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll get you back on again, my friend, okay?
Thanks very much. I've sure enjoyed being here. I look forward to it.
You're the man.
Folks, remember, you can also go to our Facebook page. That's Earth Radio 1 on Facebook. And for new listeners in Orlando, 8:10 a.m., you can check the show out by going to earthradionetwork.com. You can click on Dr. Drake or Dr. Truth right there, and it takes you to our emails.
Hey, guys. See you later. Maranatha, Maranatha. Keep shining.
Amendment Avenger, thank you for joining us tonight.
Good to be here. Remember, an ounce of liberty for a pound of security is a ton of tyranny.
Big thanks to executive producer, The Sentinel, Engineer Don. Folks, until next time, let justice be done, though the heavens fall.
This is Earth.
You would not believe your eyes. I'd like to make myself believe that planet Earth turns slowly. It's hard to say that I'd rather stay awake when I'm asleep. 'Cause everything is never as it seems.
Epic Pro.